This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
You learn just enough to be, well, deadly. The coronavirus certainly has upended our lives. Sadly, for some, it has taken their lives. Always at the start of the show, we go through the numbers, the cases, the people who have lost their lives, and those that have survived. One of the things we're going to talk about is this idea, though, and this is the new twist of the super spreaders. And the super spreaders are the people who talk loud, and they're spreading the virus the most. Sounds strange? I'll dive a little bit deeper and explain it a little bit more. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, if you've just joined me for the first time, welcome on board. So, deaths, 95,087 deaths in the United States. Those that have recovered, thank goodness, 308,000 confirmed cases. This is that we know of, all these numbers. And this is the latest numbers, 1.61 million. If we look across the globe worldwide, 332,000 deaths, 1.94 million recovered, and 5.8 million people confirmed with COVID-19. So where are we today in opening up on a holiday weekend? There are beaches that are going to be open. There are bars, well, restaurants / bars that will be opened. There's social distancing that's supposed to be in place. There are tables that have been knocked out of restaurants and measured. There are some people who feel quite safe with the idea of that, and others who say, no, thank you. Where do you fall? You can always send me your thoughts, yay or nay, reopening too soon, even though you desperately want to get out there, and especially economically, you want to be back to work if you're one of those who cannot work from home. How do you get me? 24/7. It's always a rolling poll on this show. KateDelaneyRadio.com. KateDelaneyRadio.com. And you click on contact and let it rip. Where do you fall? In what direction do you fall? And in reopening, we're seeing that, you know, even in Vegas, can't shut down the tables and the idea of no gambling. So tourists are going to get to rock down the strip and go into some of the shops they want to go into, and Caesars and all that kind of stuff coming up. But reopen, there are a few significant things that will be different with hotel rooms and dining options and slot machines and table games and that Caesar's Palace. And they're saying that the self-parking properties on the strip are going to be free because you used to have to pay for them. And they're trying to push the layout where there's more space. And of course, there is a lot of space in casinos, but no shows, no bars, no spas, no buffets. The buffets are a walking possible coronavirus banquet because of people and possible spit and anything else that could happen, even with having sleeves and shields and everything else. So that makes sense. It's not shocking that there wouldn't be any buffets and no valet parking, because then somebody handling the cars in and out, the whole thing. And for the employees, temperature checks constantly, they're going to do that. They're going to test them on the job, when they go to the job, that whole kind of thing. Now, there is no date flat out given for this, but it looks like possibly June 1st. And they're taking reservations starting on May 29th at Caesars Palace, Harrah's, Bally's, Flamingo, Planet Hollywood. They're all taking them. So what's the experience in Vegas and Nevada going to look like? Some of the casinos will open and the occupancy limits will be different. And so will the gaming experience. It will be obviously a little bit different as well. But there's an example of what is possible when you try to figure out a way to move forward and reimagine and bring people in. And for those who want to go ahead and start to travel and take a vacation or do business or whatever it is they're going to do in Las Vegas. All right, super spreaders. So one of the things that's being talked about is the super spreader. And scientists, of course, think banning mass gatherings could be enough to keep the pandemic in check, which of course would mean stadiums, because that would just be an incubator for the coronavirus spread, and that's not a shock. Certainly we know that. How about the people where you're in a packed place, and that's the part of the super spreading, that you have to scream and talk loudly because you can't hear over anything? And of course, stadiums and any sporting events would be like that, because people cheer, for goodness sake. And if you have 40,000, 50,000, 80,000, whatever it is, think college football, that's exactly where a super spreader would live. That is a super spreading opportunity. And then with the super spreaders, some people are more infectious than others. So, again, loud and proud, speaking loud, crowded areas, screaming over each other. It makes sense because of how it could spread and what happens when you get excited and you talk fast. And, you know, again, the way you can spread the human-to-human contact, and that tracing becomes even trickier when you're trying to link somebody to a crowd they were in, and imagine whatever the size crowd, how difficult that is to try to figure that out. And then the people who are the silent infectors, because they don't even realize they're sick, that can be the most deadly of the people. Dr. Thomas Frieden, a former director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said that, you know, you look at super spreading events and it may involve people with symptoms that linger, but they're not sick enough to stay home. And you look at the aerosol droplets from a patient's cough, or the amount of infectious viruses, etc., and think about those crowds and how easily it would be to spread it. Remember, you've heard of Typhoid Mary. I remember my mother used to use that expression when I was a kid and I had no idea what she was talking about. Turns out there was a Typhoid Mary, and her name was Mary Mallon, a cook who spread typhoid fever to more than 50 people in the early 20th century. She wasn't ill, but she was, guess what, asymptomatic, and she silently infected people with the virus because she had no idea. That's where that expression comes from. All right, plenty of you had a mountain of things to say, not just about COVID-19, but a few other things as well, including the flooding from the dams in Michigan. That's next when we go to the mailroom.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Yeah, we didn't have to dig very far or deep because you always flood the mailroom. I'm waiting in it right now. All of your hot opinions and thoughts on everything from COVID-19 to Elon Musk and a giant statue of him in a city in Texas. What? Isn't that crazy? Anyway, let's take the first one. This one is from Jake, and Jake says, Kate, I am getting stir crazy. Oh, but at least I have a job I can work from home. I think of some of my friends who crushed it getting through school. We're only 15 years out of school, and they are filing for unemployment, and that is a number that is staggering. And then there's even this discussion of rolling back the unemployment because some people are afraid to go back to work, or the government fears they won't want to go back to work and they'll just keep trying to collect unemployment. Yeah, you know what? Getting inside people's heads, right? There's no way to do it, and not one size fits all. There probably is some people that hated what they did. They don't really want to be on unemployment, but they're on unemployment, and why would they be in a rush to go back, especially if there's a question mark about the way their company is handling COVID-19, and what are the new guidelines for them, and how many people are in the building, and what does the break room look like, and, you know, everything from A to Z that you can imagine. But it is a staggering number, 38.6 million. I mean, that is a job market collapse and annihilation, unprecedented, especially with how deep and quickly we went in that direction. And of course, it's a pandemic, and this is what's happened because of the pandemic. So the number of people filing for unemployment benefits in the 2 months since the virus took hold in the U.S. is getting closer to, the official number is 39, but it's getting closer to, from what I hear, 40 million coast to coast. And now this slow roll reopened depending on what somebody does, right? That's the deal. All right, move to the next one. This one is from Amy, who says, Kate, I've been listening to the show probably for 2 or 3 years. I didn't realize that you've been on the air doing this show for 10 plus years. Congratulations. It has to be tough. You are in the middle of the boys network. I'm sure you realize that, because every time I tune in, it's only really men on the air and you. But my deal is, I happen to see from a friend of mine who sent me this picture, and I thought it was one of those fake pictures, but it's the Tesla guy, and it's the Tesla guy who is a giant, and he is, the Tesla guy is, you know, right there at a drill site, and he's leaning on a drill site, which is actually kind of an iconic deal at this, you know, at Texas City. And it's I hope that people get to see this, because in one way it's shocking, in another way it's, you know, clever. I think what you're talking about is the Cybertruck factory, right? And there's a competition, Austin and Tulsa, actually, are trying to get this factory that would produce the Cybertruck. So Tulsa got just, you know, jumped all over this as fast as they could, and they tweeted a picture of the Cybertruck that looked like the local police. So, you know, say, hey, if we team up, if Tulsa and Tesla team up to change the world, it would only be right to hashtag buy local. And that was smart. That was the mayor of Bynum who did that. And there's lots of entrepreneurs in Tulsa, and it's friendly tax base wise, etc. And then there's the Golden Driller. And the Golden Driller is this it's an iconic statue that was built in the 50s to honor the oil industry, which is huge there. And so to tweak it, the face was covered with a white mask that was supposed to resemble Elon Musk. And then the belt buckle was covered with the word Tesla on it, and the chest was decorated with a rendition of the Tesla logo. If you haven't seen it, whatever search engine you use, go and take a look at that, because it is, and that's what she's talking about, I believe, is it is really shocking but kind of cool. It is. It's very, very cool. And, of course, Austin is a huge tech area. And, you know, with their population, which is twice that of Tulsa's, and the reaction was nothing like Tulsa's. No big grand gestures or any of that. The mayor of Austin, you know, didn't do anything funny or, you know, try to seduce Elon Musk in any way as far as doing something big, bad, and all over social media. So we'll see ultimately what Elon Musk chooses to do with the, and of course he could end up going somewhere else, but supposedly these are the two cities that are up for getting the Cybertrucks, and it could end up there. So there you go. All right, how about this one from Max, who says, oh boy, Kate, I have to tell you, I totally understand. I'm 30 years old. I totally understand the virtual world. I've done presentations that way. I get technology. But no offense to the older people in my company, I feel like I am constantly, it's not like I'm the IT guy, even though I'm not, I'm constantly having to teach people how to Zoom, and I think it's so basic. And so my question is, why don't people take the time to learn something instead of immediately ask for help? You know, touche, if that's what they're doing, why not poke around? Zoom is actually easy. If you go to it, and it's they lay it out. It's self-explanatory, and you can mess around with it. Of course, you have to get comfortable with it, but that's what technology is about. I think people are too quick to say, oh, I can't do it. I just can't do it, instead of how about, I don't know it yet, but I will know it. You know, my aunt, who is 75, has figured out how to Zoom. She's figured it out all on her own. I mean, we kind of had to prompt her a little bit, but she figured it out, so much so that you could play game night with her, and she can actually get on camera, fix it right so you can see her face, and she can do it. Any of you can do it. So I understand what he's saying, though, when the most basic thing is something where you just need to pay attention, read it, and mess around with it. You know, there's going to be more people that are going to be working from home. So anybody who doesn't know, who is working, and you don't know how to do this kind of stuff, you got to learn it. You got to get a webcam, or there's one built into your laptop, and go from there. It isn't that difficult. The basics aren't difficult. I'm not saying with all the bells and whistles and crazy things that some people have done, tricked out studios and put hundreds and thousands, no kidding, of dollars into it. Well, yeah, that's not even necessary. Just do the basics and you got it. And it's not that, like I said, it's not that difficult, but there's going to be, I think, a big shift no matter what happens with the pandemic, and still wanting to be face to face, but there will be some things that will happen over Zoom or some other form of media technology that you can use to do similar things. It's pretty interesting. I mean, right now people are Zooming cooking classes, showing at-home menus. There's a lot of connection there. Some people say it's like a Zoom doom, that they're getting burned out on the whole Zoom thing. And because I said something about Vegas at the top, I want to go to this one. This one is from Sam I Am. Hey, Kate, didn't you used to live in Vegas? I'm curious, when you look at Vegas, do you really think it will soar with what the new thing that they're trying to do? How many people back to Vegas? Because now what happens to Vegas stays in Vegas, but who cares what happens? I think people now aren't going to be so concerned about what somebody thinks or what they say after we've all gone through this pandemic. And for Vegas, because of the way air circulates and how cavernous the casinos are, I guess if they limited the amount of people, it could work. But if they don't, it would have the opposite effect. Yeah, you know what? It could be a super spreading moment, or it could be a social distancing lesson, which I think it will be. Because it'll be more complicated for the casino and the hotel, but they can figure it out if they limit the amount of people. They'd have to close off some entrances and go from there, I believe. Yeah. The vaccine can't arrive soon enough, right? Coming up on the flip side, this or that, the technical maestro for this show will join us, and we'll see what this or that is all about this time around.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That is why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients. Employing Americans. Log on now at 2020safe.net and order your liter bottle and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free. By using code GCN at checkout, 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Joe Biden declared he shouldn't have been so cavalier after he told a prominent black radio host on The Breakfast Club the following.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, And you ain't black.
The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee quickly moved to address the fallout from his remark, which was interpreted by many presuming black Americans would automatically vote for him. Biden said he would never take the African-American community for granted. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, the Senate's sole black Republican, said he was shocked and surprised by Biden's remarks.
That is the most arrogant, condescending comment I've heard in a very long time, and that's saying something. If you think about the numbers, 1.3 million African-Americans voted for Trump. He's saying to 1.3 million African-Americans that you're not black? Who in the heck does he think he is?
This is USA Radio News. North Korean-run state media KCNA reported that Kim Jong-un attended a meeting of military leaders. Kim presided over the Workers' Party of Korea's Central Military Commission, discussing new policies for further increasing the nuclear war deterrence of the country. It's his first public appearance since May 1st. It's unclear why Kim had been out of the public eye for so long. Rumors surfaced about Kim's health when he was absent from a number of events back on April 15th. Hillary Clinton collected $2 million for Joe Biden's new joint fundraising committee, teaming up with the Democratic National Committee last week, an enormous one-night haul for the once cash-strapped campaign. Clinton raised the money during a Zoom fundraiser. It was more than any Biden surrogate has collected at any single event so far, according to campaign and party officials. Unlike at prior Biden campaign events, though, donors were allowed to give far more money because their checks were going to a new joint committee between Biden's campaign and the DNC. This is USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Tension ratcheting up with China. We've been talking about a lot about the diplomacy between our country, almost a laughable word, and China, and then lots of accusations that are flying around on both ends of this, and about spying and all kinds of propaganda. So we've got with us now the Epoch Times chief investigative reporter Josh Phillip to talk about what's going on in China, and specifically China's new propaganda policy. It's called Wolf Warrior Diplomacy. And again, think of where we are and the conversations that we've had on the air. So, Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, real pleasure being here. Some good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk specifically about, because some people are probably saying, what is she talking about, wolf warrior diplomacy? And that's what China is calling its new propaganda war of China versus the U.S. and everybody else, basically, Western countries, right?
Yep, that's their new name for it. And they're being very aggressive with it, in addition to the aggressive tone of it overall.
So explain it. What are they doing? What kind of propaganda are we seeing?
So wolf warrior diplomacy is basically a highly aggressive form of foreign diplomacy that includes propaganda, includes pushing the Chinese regime to different narratives. The latest iteration of this, for example, so Mike Pompeo, U.S. Circuit Secretary of State, wrote a congratulatory letter because the Taiwanese president was recently inaugurated. the Chinese regime shot back against Pompeo through three separate Chinese government branches. And they're basically criticizing him of undermining Chinese law because, you know, the Chinese Communist Party regards Taiwan as part of its own system, even though it is a self-governing country, technically an independent country. They attacked the U.S. Secretary of State very heavily online, very heavily in their media, simply because he wrote a congratulatory letter on the inauguration of a foreign president.
Wow, that's interesting. A way to twist that around is basically what we're talking about. And, of course, the main thing is you talk about what just happened with Mike Pompeo, but overall, the overarching theme, I think, is what's happening with coronavirus and the fact that the Chinese, I think they have their back up against the wall and they're being defensive about Wuhan and what happened there. And of course, when you look at China, the Chinese president even pledged, what was it, $2 billion or something in aid to worldwide for the response. But how is that playing out for them when you think of the outbreak in Wuhan and how people are feeling about what happened and how initially we got to this point in the pandemic?
It is blowing up in their faces, to say the least. And also, on the note of the wolf warrior diplomacy, that is also blowing up in their faces. In fact, their own advisors in China are telling them to stop it because it's having the opposite effect.
Mm.
And now, you know, of course, we look at a lot of how things are going in the U.S., but this is across the board, the whole world going through this. So, for example, they attacked New Zealand for defending Taiwan's proposed entry into the WHO. They attacked Australia. They're going after them with trade war policies because they're calling for investigations into the origin of the virus. They're going after the U.K., Germany, you name it. And all of these countries, there have been some really interesting op-eds in some of their media saying that the friendly veneer, this friendly mask the Chinese regime had been wearing for all these years has suddenly fallen off and seeing it for what it is.
Wow. So that's one aspect of it. But then there's something else that's happening in the United States. The fact that, and I didn't even realize this, but I guess, and you've obviously been talking about it, but the Justice Department is cracking down on suspected spying, espionage at our universities and what's happening on campuses. Explain that and what's going on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of people have heard about the most famous case around this recently, which was Dr. Charles Lieber, the head of the chemistry department at Harvard, who was allegedly receiving about $50,000 a month from the Chinese regime and was tied to the Chinese Communist Party's, one of their overseas spy operations. Basically, the Chinese regime has been buying up influence among top-level academics and top-level researchers, including U.S. professors at different universities. And the Justice Department now is probing undeclared gifts that different people at our universities have been receiving, mainly from China, but also from other countries. You're talking about billions of dollars of undisclosed gifts.
Wow. So now they're examining that obviously closer, and not just this Harvard professor, like you said, but other professors. There was even one, right, that there was a West Virginia. We've got listeners in West Virginia. There's a West Virginia University professor who pled guilty to fraud, right, in relationship to his secret work in China.
That's right. That's right. And so they said that this Charles Lieber guy was the tip of the iceberg. Based on my own research, I've been researching Chinese espionage for about 12 years now. The entire picture is massive. The Chinese Communist Party has at least three different programs targeting U.S. academics, officially adopted programs into their espionage code, into their diplomatic code, targeting individuals like this. And so if the U.S. Justice Department really wants to go after it fully, the number of people who could be charged, I think, will be, just staggering.
Wow, it's scary to think about that, Josh. We're speaking with Josh Philip. He is the Epoch Times chief investigative reporter. So delving deeply the way you have into spying and to the game, to what's happened, besides academics, is there another way in? What are some of the other avenues that the Chinese are pursuing?
The Chinese Communist Party has many, many programs targeting pretty much every level of society, not just the U.S., but pretty much every country in the world. But just looking at the U.S. now, when you talk about universities, for example, they have three different programs, at least on the surface: Torch Program, Thousand Talents Program. Technically, they have two others, 973 and 211 Program. Essentially, these are different programs of approaching researchers and getting them to make their research serve the benefit of the Chinese Communist Party. This could be something pseudo-legal, such as inviting them or paying them to come work in China rather than in the U.S., and in the process of that, very likely bringing the research that they've been paid to do, sometimes even under U.S. government contracts, with them when they go over. Sometimes it is, quote, serving in place. In other words, acting as a foreign agent, often, you know, very likely not disclosing such things. Sometimes it's through things like the United Front Work Department, which is a branch of the Chinese government which goes into different communities and tries to win over their support. Notably, this targets not just universities, but also politicians, business leaders. They even control a lot of the Chinese mafia. So the drug trade, for example, is very closely tied to all this. Just as a quick note on that, the Chinese Communist Party supplies the synthetic drugs such as fentanyl to the drug cartels and into the United States. They also supply the precursor chemicals for a lot of drugs such as methamphetamine. And notably, because of this whole virus outbreak, a lot of that has been cut off because some of the cartels, their main ingredients were coming from factories in Wuhan. And so they're having manufacturing crises even among the drug cartels right now because
wow.
China was supplying all this.
Wow, so you look at the factories in Wuhan, that's fascinating that you're talking about, that has obviously upset the apple cart in that direction. And if we go to Wuhan, it's the same thing. The origin of the virus is murky. It's still not clear, right?
It's not clear. And it's interesting, there was just a recent scientific study came out, three different prominent organizations, including one tied to Harvard, I believe, saying that the idea that this virus leaked from a laboratory should not be written off. And keep in mind, leaked from laboratory does not necessarily mean man-made. It could have been a natural virus. But one of the key findings in this new scientific report is that when the virus allegedly did spread at this Huanan seafood market, this wet market, it was already at that time human adapted. It was already human to human transmittable, meaning it had been adapted to humans somewhere else by the time it had begun spreading.
Wow. Right. So that obviously uncovers a layer that a lot of people aren't thinking about. So much to talk about when we talk about what's going on with China. How about their reaction to the U.S. and pulling out, the president wanting to pull out of the WHO?
Well, the Trump administration just finished up its initial analysis of the WHO's handling of the virus. You may remember not too long ago, the Trump administration put a freeze on funding to the WHO while this investigation was going under.
Yep.
Underway. That came back and they listed 17 different points where the WHO mishandled warning the world about this virus. And the Trump administration is now giving them 30 days to come back and demonstrate that they're taking substantial steps to fix these issues and to decouple from China, to maintain independence from China, or that freezing on their funds from the U.S. is going to be permanent.
Wow. All right, so that's something to look for. The clock is ticking. We could talk to you all day about this, Josh. We'll have you back on again. Good stuff. Josh Philip, the Epoch Times Chief Investigative Reporter. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owners. Population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
The initial readout is that this was a known problem for a while, and that's why it's important that we do our due diligence and then we take our action. That's Meredith. Regarding the dams, the state of Michigan is reviewing every potential legal recourse that we have. This incredible damage requires that we hold people responsible, and we are pursuing and going to pursue every line of legal recourse that we can.
All right, that's Governor Whitmer from Michigan. And, of course, what is the dam supposed to do, and what do you always expect? Ah, that dam's been there forever. That's going to hold up. And no such luck for the poor people in central Michigan, because the days of the heavy rain clobbered central Michigan. Two dams failed. Thousands of people had to evacuate their homes. The floodwaters were ridiculous. They had to declare a state of emergency in the middle of a pandemic dealing with the floods. Can you imagine? That just heaps more problems on top of other problems. And it did inundate Midlands downtown with something like close to 9 feet of water. So they had flash flood emergencies all over the place. It was catastrophic. I mean, catastrophic. People were just trying to get away from the wall of water because it kept rising and rising and rising on Wednesday. And you could see sort of the raging water part on Tuesday when it was just overwhelming. This Edenville Dam is the name of it, and of course that gets more and more dangerous and more catastrophic, and you know the people just were seeking higher ground. That's what you do when you get in that situation. But looking at it, and I was thinking the times I've spent in Michigan, and I know there's people listening to us there. Oh, I feel you. You know, you think of that dam is about 30 miles inland. To give you an example for anyone else living anywhere else that knows about dams. So 30 miles inland from Saginaw Bay of Lake Huron, and imagine all the people around there and then what happens. And, you know, it's not clear apparently if the breach was because of overtopping, although it sort of looked that way, or a break before overtopping. You know, you could see the video and it looked like there might have been an initial break there. And they've had massive amounts of, I'm going to say massive, a lot of violations and lots of problems that the dam was not going to be able to withstand a significant flood. You know, it's all the way back into the late 90s that they had to increase, what do you have to do when you've got that situation, all that water? Spillways. And of course, they didn't really do that, so it wasn't maintained. It was one of the worst, in fact, maintained dams in the U.S. And that put it in the high hazard category because of the potential loss of life and the conditions that existed. And poof! Oh, you mean I can't just put my finger in the dam? She said sarcastically. No. This is why this thing was established in the first place, because of how it could crest. Just so tough for those people, the roads underwater, houses, all of that. How many lives, you know, ripped up because of that, just being doused. And that dam failure, you know, it's one thing to have waters recede and be in the middle of, you know, terrible rains, but it's another thing to see a river crest, and then what happens with the dam. The pictures were just insane. I mean, there were houses that, you know, you could see barely the rooftop, and then there were roads that were just ripped. I mean, this is a disaster, so of course it's a state of emergency. Evacuation now with the dam breach coming back will be interesting for some of these people as to, you know, what are they going to do, and will they even be able to get back into homes and businesses? Some of them maybe, others no. I mean, and they want to come back. You know, they want to come back and see what's happened to their property. And they're worried about sewage backup in houses and businesses, and that makes it even worse. That's just another part of it. Oh, yikes. It's been a long time, but I used to live near a dam. I used to wonder. It was beautiful to see it. And it was off the Mississippi, but you know, I would wonder about I know what the benefits are, but what can be the downfall of it? And of course, the downfall is if you're not, the problems if you're not maintaining it. It can cost you everything, including your life. But I haven't heard of any loss of life there. So, you know, it's like New Orleans. We look at New Orleans and the levees, and we talk about the levees and what it does. You know, the artificial wall, or even some have natural walls that block the water from going where, of course, you don't want it to go. And it makes more spaces habitable, and it diverts the body of water. And then, of course, the other pro of this whole thing is you've got incredibly fertile soil near those, near those areas with the seabed, etc. But again, and it can prevent flooding and what it's supposed to do in a storm surge. Certainly not break and cause flooding. And there are many, many areas. Maybe some of you live near a dam, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. But even economically, it can be a boon to an area. But of course, there is the other side of that. And the other side is scary if it's not taken care of, especially. And that's why some people even fight to have dams removed, because of some of the impacts on the areas, and because of what it does to the water supply too, because it all depends on the rivers or where you're taking it. All right, that's your lesson on dams. Did you feel like you were watching Nova for a second or listening to it anyway? I am fascinated by the whole dam thing, and I was so sad to see what happened in Michigan, because I know that for some people it's going to be like a whole rebuild effort. And luckily, well, the thing I didn't hear, and I checked everywhere, is there weren't reports of people dying because of it, because that often can happen. All right, I said I was going to talk about this for a second. There's all kinds of polls, and they can slant in all kinds of directions, obviously. So one of the latest polls that I saw, and this is supposedly, it's nonpartisan, but the Quinnipiac University poll, they did a head-to-head poll. President Trump versus the former Vice President Joe Biden. They released it on Wednesday. In the poll, they found that voters supported Biden over Trump. The numbers were 50% to 39%. Of the Democrats specifically surveyed, 88% said they would vote for Biden, 5% said they'd vote for Trump. Of the Republicans, 87% chose the president, 8% chose Biden. Independents favored Biden over Trump, 47% to 36%. So you know what's going to come into play, and of course the president knows this, and anybody in that position, especially when you're looking for that second term, we saw it with our last three presidents, it's where you are in history, it's responses to events, and the coronavirus is the big one. And what happens as we get closer to November, what's going on with the pandemic, all of that comes into play. Economics always comes into play in any election, because what's in your wallet means, can you feed your family? Can you pay your bills? There are reports that, of course, people are having bills that are due. They're having credit card bills due or other bills, and they just, car payments, whatever it is. And if they can't pay them, they're not paying them. They're trying to play, poker with, I have this amount of money coming in, what can I pay? What can I pay? And a lot of people are struggling when you think of the amount of unemployment. So odd, because 6 months ago, oh, it was such a different picture. Oh, what a difference a pandemic, sadly, can make to all of our lives, with our health and with our economic power and resources and what we're able to do. And this will very much play, obviously, into what will happen in the election. Most Americans favor caution with the reopening of state businesses and public spaces. That poll found that 75% said the reopening should be done slowly to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, despite negative impacts on the economy. And you can find polls where it would flop in the opposite direction. On that note, we're wrapping this hour up. Thanks so much for listening to the show. My name's Kate Delaney. If it's your first, spread the word that we're here. Send me your thoughts, katedelaneyradio.com. Remember, we're all in this together.
There were lots of invitations. I know you sent me some, but I was waiting for the miracle, for the miracle to come.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders, trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.